Current State on 90.5 WKAR. I'm Mark Bayshore. MSU's Residential College in the Arts and Humanities continues its Wednesday Night Live series tonight. Candice Taylor is an award-winning author, photographer, and documentarian for the Library of Congress. She owns Taylor Made Culture, a company that produces multimedia projects that examine culture and identity in America. Candice Taylor, welcome to Current State.
Thank you very much.
I should say welcome back, actually, because you've been on the program once before with our Emmanuel Berry some time ago. How does a person become a documentarian?
Well, it's not a job that you kind of fall into it because you do so many different kinds of things. I have a degree in painting and drawing. I was a scenic painter after I graduated from undergraduate school. Then I went to a master's program called visual criticism, which is similar to the residential humanities program you have here. And it really opened the door wide open and let me explore so many different types of medium to tell a story. So you're really a storyteller at the heart of it all. It's just the medium that you choose can be up to you based on what your interests are or what you are good at or what speaks to you.
There's a journalistic dimension. I think a lot of people hear documentary and they assume that there's a journalistic dimension to what they're going to see. Do you have a reporting background, or you come to this pretty much from the arts?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I really, I write articles for The Guardian UK, but the journalism came much later, actually, in my career. I'm much more than a journalist in the sense that my projects are very layered, and they deal with a lot of theoretical concepts. It's really trying to get to a deeper story and make it presentable to a mass audience.
Mm-hmm.
With journalism, it's a lot, it's just about the facts, mostly, and a compelling story, and it deals with culture and history and all of those things that I love. But you can only go so deep with journalism, usually. So, and the audience is different.
Perhaps your best-known work is Counterculture, where you visited 44 cities and talked to diner waitresses, lifers who had been waiting on tables for decades. What inspired you to document the experiences of those women?
Well, I was waitressing to get through graduate school. So I had this firsthand experience of wondering, it was 30 at the time, and I thought, how in the world did these diner waitresses do it, these lifers who've been doing it for 50 years? In a lot of cases, and they're twice my age, and in some cases, some were over 84, still working. And I just wanted to know how they felt about their jobs. And, I assumed that they would be worn out and tired and maybe even bitter from all those years of waitressing. And I found out that they weren't, that they actually, over 90% said they loved their jobs, they wouldn't do anything else. And, I thought this is a really good, interesting way to tell a different story because we hear so much about the negative in terms of waitressing. So it was inspirational, and it became my thesis work, and I continued to work on it about 7 years after I graduated. So
Candice Taylor is our guest here today on Current State. Candice is the documentarian for the Library of Congress and an award-winning author, photographer, and documentarian. You've been on Current State before, as I mentioned. You talked about your project, American Roots, that talks about how hair intersects with culture and identity here in the United States. What kind of response have you gotten to that project?
Oh, it's been amazing. That project, I did receive a grant from the Library of Congress. It was an Archie Green Fellowship. So that was a huge honor. The work is being archived. All of my interviews are being archived at the Library of Congress. So in terms of my career, it was, one of the most exciting and amazing things I could ever hope to accomplish. So in that way, it was incredible. But in terms of the media, and I do speaking tours about this project, and people are so engaged because hair affects everyone, even bald men who don't have hair. It's not just a woman thing. It's not just a Black thing. I'm African American, was really what got me involved in the project of dealing with my own hair and wondering how other cultures deal with their hair and if it's such a, if it's as much of an issue. And, you know, I learned that pretty much most people don't want what they have. Everybody's got, you know, issues with their hair. But no, I think in the, you know, in terms of being a scholarly, you know, project that really did get true accolades, it was amazing. And then it got a lot of support just from regular people, which is what, you know, which is what I hope to do with all my projects, is reaching both of those audiences, which is challenging.
You make a great point with people wanting what they don't have. People with hair shave it off, and people without hair want to grow it, I suppose. Is that part of your point there?
Yes. If they, if it's curly, they want it straight, and vice versa. Yeah.
Tell us about your project, The Green Book. What is that?
Oh, The Green Book is a project that I'm working on. Actually, I've partnered with the National Park Service in this project. The Green Book was a book that was published. It was a travel guide published from 1936 to 1966 for Black people. So it was a travel guide during Jim Crow because, as we know, Blacks were not allowed into many parts of society. And if you were on the road and traveling throughout this country, you needed a guide to tell you where you could stay, where you could eat, where you could get gas. You know, they were really critical. This was a critical guide, and it's been kind of lost in the archives. There's a few, you know, not a whole lot of people have been writing about it or looking at it, and it's a fascinating piece of our history. So I'm documenting some of the buildings that are still standing, some of those businesses that served Blacks during Jim Crow. So the National Park Service has a conservation program along Route 66, which is my next book. I'm writing a travel guide on Route 66, and I just thought I'd combine the projects and look at what else is on Route 66 and what else tells the American story. And I came across a Green Book, and it was a great you know, experience, because I think it's a fascinating thing to capture.
Of all the ideas you get, Candice Taylor, how many actually become a project of any scale?
I have a lot more ideas than projects, that's for sure. You know, I kind of follow whatever gets support, where the financial support is, because that's how I have to make a living. So, you know, I have other projects. I have a project called By the Horns, which is on female bullfighters and bull riders. And I've been documenting them for about 5 years, photographing bullfights along the Mexican-American border, a lot of them in America, actually. And, you know, I've written several grants over the years, and I haven't gotten a grant for it, a major grant. It's kind of controversial. People get a little nervous about it. So it's a harder project to fund. So I'd love to have a book out or a documentary out about this project, but, you know, it's kind of like you follow the money. So, yeah, if you look at my website, there's mention of that project and a project called Bingo, which I thought was fascinating. Subculture that I'd like to document. But yeah, just, you know, right now I'm knee deep in the Green Book project and in Route 66. So.
Did you say that there is bullfighting happening in America? Did you mean Central America, or did you mean the United States of America?
The United States of America.
How much bullfighting goes on in the United States of America? I'm a little surprised to hear that.
Right. Yeah, no, there's bullfights all along the Mexican-American border in Texas. There's a lot of them in the Central Valley in California, which is, you know, right in the central, near Stockton.
Right.
There's a Portuguese community, and bullfighting is very big in the Portuguese community, and there are bullfights. They're bloodless bullfights, and they have to be in America. So I was fascinated about how we've kind of appropriated bullfighting for our own culture. And I'm even more fascinated with the women who have been fighting, because women have been, you know, pushed out of that. It's a very machismo world, and especially the culture that it comes from. And also, you know, but women have been fighting bulls for decades. I mean, there were famous bullfighters, female bullfighters in the 40s and in the 50s in Mexico and Spain. So, you know, again, that's another piece of history that a lot of people don't know, and I would love to do a full project on it. I'm still working on it, but it just hasn't, you know, been produced yet.
We're down to about 30 seconds, but I do want to ask you what you will be advising. What do you advise students if they express an interest in becoming a documentarian?
Follow your heart in terms of what you want to produce. You know, I mean, I think it's not easy, and you have to kind of carve your own way. You know, apply for grants. If you have a project that you love, try and find a grant that would support it, and then just move forward. I mean, that's what I did. I didn't graduate and say, oh, I'm going to be a cultural documentarian. I mean, it was kind of, it came to me along the way. I've been doing it for about 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, figure out where your skills are, what you love to do in terms of the medium, if you like photography or writing or whatever, and then find the subject.
Very good.
See if you can get funding.
It's always fascinating to have you on the program, and our guest is in East Lansing here tonight. Candice Taylor is our guest, and she is tonight's speaker at the Wednesday Night Live series at Michigan State University's Residential College in the Arts and Humanities, an award-winning documentarian, photographer, and author. Candice, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It was fun.